Hello, you have tuned into Preaching with Pastor David Spencer. Listen, I am excited, I am humbled, I am honored that you chose to spend this time with me. I hope this message changes you and blesses your life.
Luke 19, Luke chapter 19, verse 28 through 34. And it reads, and I'm reading from the New International Version. Verse 28, after Jesus had said this, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Say, the Lord needs it. Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as they were told. God knew it would be there. And as they were untying the colt, the owners asked them, why are you untying this donkey? And they replied, the Lord needs it. For a topic on today, I want to use, the Lord needs me. The Lord needs me. Look at your neighbor for me and say, the Lord needs you. And I want you to make it personally. Point to yourself and say, the Lord needs me. Let us pray. God, we thank you for this moment. God, we thank you for this opportunity, God, just to dive into your word, God. We thank you, God, that you have, that you are a God that lives, God. You breathe, God, and you speak, God. Give us ears, God, to listen. Let us hear your voice, God, so that we can accurately apply this word responsibly to our lives. God, remove me, God. You have your way, God. You increase in this moment, God. Say what you want to say to your people, and we'll forever give your name the praise. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. The Lord needs you, but I said, make that thing personal. The Lord needs me. It's Palm Sunday. And I've been excited all week about Palm Sunday. I even text Trustee Vaughn and I asked him, hey, you know, Sunday isn't just Sunday, it's Palm Sunday. And he responds, yes. Still very excited. I asked, well, what are we doing at First Baptist to commemorate the occasion? And I asked a clarifying question. I said, is there going to be palms at church on Palm Sunday? And he said, yes, branches. And you see, I was already working on my sermon for Palm Sunday. The Holy Spirit and I had begun a dialogue about the message that he wanted me to deliver on today. Palm Sunday is a big deal. Palm Sunday marks the beginning of Holy Week. It is a day when Christian believers all over the world commemorate the triumphant entry of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem just a few days before his crucifixion. Now in Bible study, you got to get to Bible study. We discuss the Gospels and how each author tells the same story from different perspectives. They make it relevant to the audience that they are trying to reach, the audience that they are speaking to. In giving their account, even John, whose approach was different from the authors of the Synoptic Gospels, all of the writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and including John, they all give similar accounts of what happened on that day. And if that statement sounds a little confusing, then you need to get to Bible study. And I want to pause right there to invite you to come out and join us to Bible study. We are breaking down the text. We are exploring concepts. We're going deeper to discuss how to responsibly apply the word of God to our lives. And I often say it's hard to answer, what would Jesus do if you don't fully understand what he actually did? And so Bible study, Sunday school, that's a good place to kind of dive a little deeper than what we do here on Sunday morning. So this week in my preparation for today, I took a moment and I read each account in the Gospels. And as I often do, I try to find myself in the text. Finding me in the text, it helps me make the word real and it helps me make it relevant for me today. It helps me apply the word responsibly to my life. And listen, it's easy to get lost in the pronunciations and the these and the thous of the text. But listen, God had you and I in mind when he inspired the scriptures. These are not just stories. There are treasures hidden in the word of God waiting for us to uncover. Jesus said, let those who have ears hear. And so I listened to the Holy Spirit and I waited for him to reveal where I was sitting in the text. And in the gospel, there are many characters. There are many perspectives present. Jesus is there. His disciples are there with him. The crowd is chanting, Hosanna, Hosanna. And even the Pharisees, they were there too, lurking around them. The apostles even mentioned the prophet Zechariah. Two disciples were sent. We don't know which two, but two were sent to retrieve the donkey and a colt. And they had a brief dialogue with its owners. And I said, but God, where am I? And as I examined the text, the Holy Spirit kept pointing to this donkey. And I said, God, the donkey? And he said, yes, David, the donkey. And this week, I've been fixated on this donkey. This donkey has had my undivided attention. And in the years to come, when I stand to deliver more Passion Week's messages on Sundays from this pulpit, I will probably explore some of these other perspectives. But on today, I want to highlight the experience of the donkey and show how it parallels to our experience today. Now walk with me as we unwrap this statement. The donkey was tied up and it had never been ridden. But in spite of its perceived predicament, the Lord had use of it. I'm going to read that again. The donkey, you see, was tied up and it had never been ridden. But in spite of its perceived predicament, the Lord, our God, had use of it. In ancient times, a king would ride a horse during times of war or conquest, but a donkey was a symbol of peace and humility. They went to war on a horse, but came home on a donkey. So by choosing to ride a donkey, Jesus told the world he was the Prince of Peace. Some thought a horse and a fiery chariot coming on a cloud accompanied by an army of angels would have been more dramatic and more appropriate. But Jesus said he would come into his kingdom riding on a donkey. You see, he wasn't like other kings. He would begin his conquest with peace. Jesus was different. He would preach to the crowd from a boat instead of from a pulpit in the synagogue. He dined and he had supper with the sinners. He healed people on the Sabbath. And when the storm was raging all around them, everyone else was scared. But God, they found Jesus peacefully asleep at the bottom of the boat. And listen, he could have chosen a horse or any other animal for that matter, but for his processional, Jesus wasn't ordinary, and because he wasn't like anyone else and he wanted to be different, he chose a donkey. And listen, not just any donkey. God needed this particular donkey that was tied up and had never been ridden. Isn't it amazing how God told Zechariah 500 years before this moment that I preferred a donkey? God knew then that this donkey was the one that he needed. You see, donkeys are gentle by nature. Donkeys are frequently used by disabled persons for riding. They are usually well behaved when they are around children. Donkeys are usually the safe option. But this donkey wasn't like other donkeys. He was different and he didn't quite fit in. The donkey was unusual. I believe its behavior was probably a little erratic and probably a little disruptive. He didn't sound like the other donkeys. He didn't walk and talk like the other donkeys. He didn't move like the other donkeys, and he didn't have the same mannerisms like other donkeys. There was something special and different about this donkey, and it was probably a little peculiar, and that's why it is tied up. And when we are introduced to the donkey, the text says it was tied up, and this suggests his owners didn't quite know what to do with it. They didn't fully understand its purpose, and they didn't recognize its potential. Have you been there? So they had the audacity, they had the nerve to tie it up and never ride it. The donkey was created to be ridden, but because they didn't understand his gift, because they didn't understand his calling, because they didn't understand or know who it was designed to be, they tied up the donkey and didn't give it an opportunity to do the thing that it was designed to do. Because of their preconceived ideas about how a donkey should walk and how a donkey should behave, they tied up this donkey and they never rode it. And even when the two disciples showed up, they asked the owners for this donkey. They didn't ask. They just started untying. And the owners, they didn't ask many questions. They didn't ask for money or put up a real fight. Imagine someone showing up to your house and taking your property without your permission. They didn't even get mad about it. It's almost like they were glad to see the donkey go. It was tied up and they had no use for it because they couldn't ride it. Now, I imagine the donkey said to himself, why don't they like me? Why won't they give me a chance? The speaker last week said one more chance. This donkey wanted one more chance to prove itself. I know I've messed up a few times. I know I've fallen short. I didn't quite get it right. And all I need is one more chance to show you what I made up. I'll get it right this time. If they give me one more opportunity, I'll show them what I can do. I'll show them what I was created to be. I was designed for this moment. If they show me a little bit of grace and a little bit of mercy, I will rise to the occasion and I will make them proud of me. The donkey was tied up. And it was never ridden. But in spite of its condition, God said, tell anybody who asks you, the Lord needs it. The donkey was tied up and they didn't know what to do with it because that was the way, I'm telling you, God ordained it to be. The donkey was tied up and they were unable to break it because God said, the thing that you thought was a flaw, I'm going to use this very thing that you counted out, and I'm going to prepare this donkey towards his destiny. And now look, you know, I've been looking for myself in the text, and there I was. I found me, and I said to myself, if God cares this much about a donkey, how much more does he care about me? And I'm going to say it again. If God cares this much about this little donkey, how much more does he care about First Baptist Church? How much more does he care about you and me? The hymn writer says, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. And in spite of my flaws, in spite of what I've done, God said, I have use for your gifts and your talents. See, but I was stuck. I was beating myself up, not understanding when was my turn going to happen. I was stuck, not doing what I was created to do. But in spite of my situation, in spite of my condition, in spite of my flaws, God, in his infinite wisdom, with the voice of certainty, he saw me right where I was. And the Lord said, David, I need you. I thought my gift was inadequate and my talent wasn't enough, but God said, I am fit for the master's use. Now, before I was formed in my mother's belly, God knew me and he had a plan for my life. And today God is saying, he knows your name and he has a plan for your life. God has plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Listen, you thought that you were stuck. You thought you weren't moving fast enough. You applied and got denied. They didn't even call you back for an interview. You've been asking God, when will they see me? When will it be my turn? But listen, you're not stuck. You are right where God wants you to be. Listen, when people count you out, you got to look in the mirror and encourage yourself and say, God said that he needs me. When people refuse to see the anointing on your life, remind yourself that God chose me and God has need of my gifts and my talents. When it seems like the world is against you, listen, as long as God has your back, remind them that I am chosen by God. Listen, it doesn't matter who refuses to call your name as long as the king remembers. Listen, God made you the head and not the tail. He placed you above and not beneath. You are the lender. You are created not to be a borrower. You're the person that's supposed to give them the money. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You're created in the image of God. Listen, God did his best work when he created you. Now listen, when Paul and Silas, they were chained up, they were locked in the inner chambers, and I imagine they thought about that donkey that was tied up. They said, why are we here? Why are we locked up and chained up, beaten? These people have rejected us. And God says, I want you right there so my glory can be revealed. And in that moment, they didn't complain. They didn't get mad. They opened up their mouths and they began to pray and sing praises to God. Listen, something happens when you call on the name of Jesus. Something happens when you call on the name of the Lord. All you got to do late in the midnight hour, when something is ailing your body, you can't find sleep, call on the name of Jesus and invite him into your situation. The name of Jesus makes the difference. All you have to do is call on the name on the Lord and he will come see about you. You got to lift up your voices and say, God, I thank you. I thank you that you see me, God. God, I thank you that even though I'm tied up and it seems like I'm not moving, God, I thank you that you are right there with me. God, I thank you that you'll be my peace in troubled waters. God, I thank you that you are there, God, right there with me in the storm. God, I thank you for seeing me. God, I thank you for choosing me. God, I thank you for loving me. Even though I've fallen short of your glory, you still love me. And you said, tell everybody that you come in contact with that. God needs me. I am grateful on this morning that God needs me. And I'm grateful on this morning that God needs you too. God needs all of us to work together, to unite. If we want to see changes in our family, changes in the community, changes in our church body, we got to get together on one accord, because God needs all of us working together to make this thing happen. And after this week, listen, I'll never look at a donkey the same way again. I'm not sure what happened to that donkey, but I do know this: that donkey will forever have a place in this story. You can't read this story without talking about the donkey. The donkey was tied up and it had never been ridden, but the Lord took the thing that everyone thought was a problem and he used it to propel this donkey to his purpose. And God is saying on today, that thing that you've been hiding, that idea that you've been sitting on, he can take that thing that you thought was a problem. You thought it was an itch. You thought it was a problem in your life. And God said, I can use that very thing for my glory. And I'll say it again. I'll end with this. If God took this much care and concern for a donkey, how much more does he care about me and you? He's concerned about us every morning, that when we wake up, he sends his grace and his mercy to find us. And God says on this morning, I need you. Yes. You know my name. You know my name. Hey. You know my name. You know my name. Oh, how you walk with me. Oh, how you talk with me. Oh, how you tell me I am your own. Can you sing that with me? You know. Can you stand all over the building if you can? God is saying he sees you right where you are. You know my. Yeah. You know my name. And now that he knows your name, what does he do? Oh, how you. He's walking there right beside you. Oh, how you talk with me. And he gives us assurance. He says, oh, how. And I belong to him. I am. Can we sing it one more time? Say, do you know my name? We serve a good God, don't we? You know my name. He knows how many hairs is on our head. He forms you. You know. Real big right here. Oh, how you. Oh, how you walk with me. He's right there beside you. Oh, how you talk with me. Y'all sound real good. Oh, how he tells me. That I am your own. We're going to pray right there before I do.
Hello, family. Thank you again for tuning in to Preaching with Pastor David Spencer. Listen, I hope something was said that changes your life. Until we meet again, I speak peace and blessing over you, your family, and everyone connected to you. Be blessed.